If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Just how aggressive will the Tennessee Titans be in free agency? Is Mike Borgonzi going to go on a spending spree, or is he going to be more conservative? We're going to talk about how many big-time contracts we think the Titans will hand out this offseason. Plus, Jeremiah Love visited the Titans early before free agency even starts. What does it mean? And should the Titans entertain a trade down now that the Chiefs have extra ammo? All that and more on today's Music City Audible. Let's get to it. Welcome everyone to another episode of the Music City Audible, a Tennessee Titans podcast. I'm your host, Justin Graver, full-time NFL podcast producer for Odyssey. And joining me as always, my co-host, the publisher of NFL Draft on SI and the managing editor of your favorite Titans website, Titan Sized, Justin Mello. How's it going today, Justin?
Doing well. One day closer to NFL free agency. Not any closer to the Titans actually doing something, but excited to talk today's pod. I think we got some good info. Obviously, the Jeremiah Love thing created a pretty big reaction on social media. I think we all tweeted about it at some point. I think a good philosophical conversation we have on deck about free agency that I'm really excited to get into with you. And then also that Chiefs trade was pretty notable and does give them the ammo to move up. And we know that obviously Mike Borgonzi's got a great relationship there. That'd be an interesting conversation between himself and his former employer. And we know he likes getting more draft capital. So I think it's a good conversation worth having. But why don't we start with the free agency philosophical topic?
Yeah, it's an interesting conversation. This was prompted by somebody in our video comments yesterday, which is why you should always leave a comment. If you're wondering something, you never know when you're going to inspire a whole episode conversation. But yeah, somebody asked us, how many big contracts do you think the Titans will hand out this offseason? And it's an interesting question because we saw last offseason, they basically did one. The Dan Moore deal was a massive contract. It was the highest paid tackle signing in free agency last offseason. Will the Titans operate in a similar way this offseason, where they maybe hand out one big contract and then some sort of mid-level contracts to supplement with a few, you know, minor one-year deals also grouped into that mix? But I do think the Titans are in a position to be a little more aggressive than they were last offseason. They have a number of holes on the roster that we've talked about ad nauseum, from wide receiver, edge, and cornerback to smaller holes like maybe a defensive tackle now that Tavondre Sweat's been traded, maybe a linebacker if you don't like Cody Barton. Obviously, they need a center because they cut Lloyd Cushenberry. Right guard, still a question mark whether or not Kevin Zeitler will be back. So there's a number of positions, not all of them premium positions, but some of them premium positions, the biggest needs at premium positions. And will the Titans want to fill as many holes as they can before the draft? And if so, how high level do they feel they need to fill these holes at to feel comfortable heading into the season? I guess I would say I'm expecting probably now, two, maybe three.
Yeah, I want to call a quick timeout because I think we're headed in the same direction here. But before we talk about how many big contracts, can we agree on what constitutes a big contract? I feel like we have to agree on like a per year annual number, a per year annual sum that makes it a big contract. Now, obviously, this is somewhat subjective, like where we decide to place that number. Like, I think the way I feel about it, and we didn't talk about this off air, like anything 15 million or plus per year is a big contract. Now, like, we could go lower. Do you think 12 million per year?
I was actually thinking like 20 million per year constituted a big contract. I can get on board with 15. I think the difference is not that big. Like, will we see 3 20 million and 2 15? No, that's way too many. Are we going to see right. 2 20 million and one at 15? Like, if that's your qualification, then I would say we probably do see three. But if your qualification, if 15 doesn't qualify, then I would probably say two. So that's a pretty interesting differentiator there.
I think it's fair to go at 15. And again, this is totally subjective, but like, I feel like 15 million is a good realistic number, because the chances of a team, by the way, handing out, and I could be wrong, but I don't have the data on this, to be honest with you. I'm going off the top here, but the chances of a team handing out, any team handing out three plus contracts in free agency that are all worth 20 million plus per year seems low. So I feel like we've got to lower the bar a little bit. And that's not just the Titans thing. I think that's a league-wide thing, right? Like, no one's giving out four contracts at 20 plus million per year. I don't think, at least, right? That'd be 80 million right there. And I know you can lower the cap charge, blah, 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 but you get the point. And I also think back to like when they signed Chido Awuzie, and I know this would be going even lower. They gave him 12, that was 12 million per year. It was 3 years, 36 million, if I'm recalling correctly. Like, I don't remember thinking that that was a big contract or a big signing. It was a good starting caliber player that they, you know, tried to bring in and didn't work out, but a good starting caliber player they tried. Lloyd Cushenberry, I think, was over 12 million per year. It was like 4 years, 50 million, right? Like, and I wonder, like, at center, you know, do we see something similar? Is it like a 14 million? Is it, do they get away with giving Connor McGovern a 14 million per year? Do they go for Cade Mays, who's not going to come in, I don't think, that high? Or Luke Fortner, who we talked about yesterday, was mentioned in the Paul Kaharsky article, is going to come in even lower. So I think setting the bar at 15 is fair. And some of you may feel like Graver's initial thought, that's not a big contract, 20 million plus. I don't know. I think setting the bar at 15 is fair. And I still set the over-under. Even last year, Dan Moore was the only one that was 15 plus, right? Like, no one else got right. 15 million from the Titans. So I go 15. You could disagree in the comments. Let us know. And it still makes me want to set the gambling bar, if you will, at like 2.5 for the time.
Yeah, I think 2.5 is perfect. And I also think there's another qualification to what constitutes a big time deal, and that's the length of the contract. Yeah. Like, last offseason, most of Borgonzi's deals were 1 or 2 years. Are they going to be looking for 1 or 2 year stopgaps as Borgonzi tries to build this roster through the draft, which he's spoken about at length being his preferred strategy philosophy for team building? Is you got to do it through the draft if you want to build it right. So do they sign 1 or 2 year contract guys, again, to be like placeholders until they find the eventual drafted guy to take that position? Or do they go sign a center to a 4 year deal and Wandale Robinson to a 3 or 4 year deal and a cornerback or an edge rusher or whatever to these long, lengthy contracts? I tend to think that's not the direction they will go. But like, if they are able to land a handful of their top targets, then maybe that is what they do. Maybe they feel that we mostly want to build through the draft, but Brian Daboll has worked with this guy, and Robert Saleh has worked with this guy, and they believe that these guys can be foundational pieces the same way you would view a draft pick. And so we are willing to invest 3-, 4-, 5-year deals into them, knowing, of course, that most free agents don't play out the full length of any contract. It's very rare for a free agent signing to play out the length of their contract. Different when you're re-signing your own drafted players. Then they will usually get to the end, and you'll sign another deal if they're still playing at a high level. Think Jeffrey Simmons, who's about to sign his second extension with the Titans. But yeah, I think that that's the bar, and that's where we can form, like, that's where we can start this conversation. And I think that is the right line. And I would probably take the under, but if the over was, if three was the final answer, then it wouldn't surprise me. But that would be a lot of spending. Like you said, if you have three guys in the 15 to 20 plus million dollar a year range, you're looking at 55, 60, 70 million, depending on the actual value of those, tied up into three contracts. And as you said, the initial first-year cap hit may not reflect that, and it may not eat from the 90-whatever million dollars in salary cap space the Titans have for 2026, but it will eat up space at some point, whether it's next year, the year after that, or dead cap down the line. So I don't expect Borgonzi to just go crazy and spend more money than any other team in the NFL just because they have more space. But I do think they'll sign a couple of guys to crucial positions, fill big-time holes, so that when they do get to the draft, they're better positioned to just take the best player at the top of their board every time they're on the clock.
This is where it gets interesting to me, and we could probably, we don't have to spend all show on this, but one at wide receiver, right? Like, whether it's Robinson or Pierce, definitely coming in at least $15 million per year, even if it's Robinson. If it's Pierce, it might be $22 to $27 million per year, right? So I'm going to say one for sure at wide receiver, maybe one at cornerback. I'm torn because I also think, you know, maybe you bring in a version of Chidobe Awuzie, right? Who I think was a good signing at the time, I was hoping. And a good quality boundary starter. Like, maybe that's Monterick Brown from the Jacksonville Jaguars, who I've talked about a little bit. You know, I think it's a good underrated player who's going to get a decent amount of money, but probably not 15 plus. Alante Taylor, you might get away with, you know, maybe being under 15. So I don't want to confuse the audience. They could still make good impact signings. John Franklin Myers, who we've talked about a lot, probably isn't getting $15 million per year.
Well, I agree with you, except that Tom Pelissero put out an article for NFL Network or NFL.com yesterday that was listing like the 10 players you've never heard of who are going to sign big deals this offseason. Whatever, it was some corny title like that. And Chigakonkwo was mentioned in it. But John Franklin Myers, he put in that article that he thinks John Franklin Myers could get $20 million per year, which is bonkers and
that's
breaks
a lot
my
of
brain a little bit.
He's a good player who's going to get you 7 sacks and stop the run and be really impactful. But I mean, again, maybe we're slow to adjust to this rising salary cap. Like, we'll circle back and reassess. I don't think he's going to come in at the big contract number.
This is the exact wording in Pelissero's article. Turning 30 in late September isn't a big deal at a position where guys are playing longer and longer at a high level with several suitors likely to be in the mix. Look for Franklin Myers' contract to top the $20 million per year mark.
I mean, if
he's obviously getting that from somewhere, probably Franklin Myers' agent.
If I'm wrong, then I'm going to have to, we'll have to include him if they sign him into the big contract thing. But I'm operating under the impression, even still, you know, that it's probably going to be lower than that. And at center, like, it's, to me, it's the border. Like, it might be a guy who's $15 million plus, but it very well might be a guy who's under that. Right. So they could still do the big thing at wide receiver, you know, one big thing at edge or whatever, guard, wherever the heck, and then do multiple things that don't meet our threshold that we'd still be really happy with, like a John Franklin Myers, like a Romeo Doubs, like a Connor McGovern or Luke Fortner at center, or an Elijah Vera Tucker at guard, or, Quiddy Pay at edge, like whatever it is. There are going to be contracts handed out, I think, in that, you know, $12 to $15 million range that we'd be happy with that may not meet the criteria of, they just gave Alec Pierce $25 million a year, or, oh my, they just gave Tyler Linderbaum, you know, $22 million per year. I think we end this segment on this note, circling back to the first thing you said. I do think they are better positioned this offseason than they were last offseason to give out more than one big contract. And the big reason behind that is you have faith in who your quarterback is, right? I think, you know, first year of the rebuild last offseason made sense to not get super aggressive, and Mike Borgonzi didn't. And we know he still wants to build this through the draft. But the way I see it, every year that you progress in your rebuild, you should feel comfortable getting a little bit more aggressive than you were the year prior. And they've got confidence in Cam Ward. There's no doubt about it. They've got a new head coach in Robert Saleh who they want to be successful here. You've probably got to give him more than what you gave Brian Callahan last offseason. So I think that does lead to more than one big contract. I think 2.5 is the appropriate line. And if we're setting it at $15 million, you know, based on some of the stuff we're hearing, maybe 3 is the appropriate number that we should expect.
So you listening or watching to this show right now, get in the comments and let us know if you're taking the over or the under on 2.5 big time contracts. That's like 15 plus million a year for 3+ years. That's the line that we've set. So let us know in the comments. When we come back from this break that we're about to take, Jeremiah Love is in Nashville as we record this podcast. He's there right now, and we're going to talk about why. All right, welcome back. The show rolls on as we wait for Titans news that is just not coming. I mean, it's just they're just not doing anything, I guess. Like, they're not re-signing Chig. They're not re-signing Zeitler. They're not cutting Legarius Sneed. I don't know what the holdup is. I mean, I do. They don't have a deadline on these things. But the re-signings, it's like, whoa, is this going to be a Sunday night situation? Are these guys going to hit the market? Like, I guess we'll find out. But as we wait for news, we continue to have to invent topics, which is what that whole first segment was about. And now we do have a little bit of Titan-centric news. Jeremiah Love is in Nashville. He posted on his Instagram story twice. Last night, he posted, I think it must have been when he landed in Nashville, because it was a picture of the floor, and it had the location.
Looked like it
Nashville,
was from
Tennessee.
BNA, from the airport.
Probably.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been there twice, once to fly into Nashville and once to fly out of Nashville on the same trip. So I don't really know what BNA looks like.
That's wild. I've been to Nashville more times than you. I'm Canadian, and you're...
The only time I ever went to Nashville was for the 2019 draft. So,
crazy.
And maybe that'll change sometime soon. But for now, that is it. Anyway, Jeremiah Love on Thursday morning then posts another photo to his Instagram story of him basically in the lobby of the Titans facility, the Titans headquarters building. So we can put two and two together here and assume that Jeremiah Love, without needing a report or an agent contact or any other info other than per Jeremiah Love's Instagram story, we know he is on a top 30 visit with the Titans right now. It's interesting, the timing of this, because this isn't that unusual, but it's still not the most common practice, where these 30 visits usually take place in the weeks leading up to the draft in April. They're usually April things. They're your final checkpoint with this player to determine like where he really falls on your big board. But the Titans now, 2 years in a row, have brought in some of these top of the draft guys, well, expected top of the draft guys, before free agency even starts. And I threw that caveat in there because they had Shedeur Sanders in, and he was not a top of the draft guy. But you know what I mean. Cam Ward, Abdul Carter, Shedeur Sanders, all these guys were in the Titans facility right around the start of free agency last year. They obviously end up picking Cam Ward. Now Jeremiah Love, about the same time of year, that last weekend before free agency begins, is in Nashville for his top 30 visit. Is this Mike Borgonzi's method? I'm going to bring these guys in before free agency so I have a better idea of who's at the top of my draft board before we go spend a bunch of money? Or is this tipping his hand? Like, we brought Cam Ward in, we're bringing Jeremiah Love in. Maybe we'll do this every year, maybe we won't, but we are putting the final touches on deciding who we want with our first round pick. Where do you fall on this whole timing?
I don't even feel comfortable with that final statement, like that we're putting the finishing touches. I think there's a month and a half left, and free agency's got to play out. There's three teams picking in front of them. Two of them, you don't know what they're doing, and they might take a guy that you like in the Jets and Cardinals at number 2 and 3. So I don't feel comfortable with that. And listen, this is Mike Borgonzi's method 2 years in a row.
DJ Moore traded to the Bills.
DJ Moore?
Traded to the Bills. Just happened.
Wow. Brendan Bean really likes semi-mediocre. I don't know. I feel like
we had DJ Moore
Amari
as a trade
Cooper,
target on
like Keon Coleman.
We had DJ Moore as a trade target on Tuesday's pod. That's pretty pretty good for us.
We both said no.
Yeah, well, we don't want him, but we nailed that he was getting moved. Props to us, Justin.
Yeah. I mean, I don't love that for Buffalo, but the point I was going to make is it does seem like these things are starting to happen earlier and earlier in terms of the pre-draft visits, and it's not just Jeremiah Love and the Tennessee Titans. Caleb Banks, a projected first-round pick, posted on Instagram the other day that he was with the Arizona Cardinals. I believe the Buffalo Bills have had at least three visits already. Like Grayson Halton, the D lineman from Oklahoma, posted that he was there today. Missouri linebacker Josiah Trotter was there the other day. The third, I won't say because I think I'm going to be the first to report it. That was in Buffalo a few days ago. I reported this morning that the Tennessee Volunteers defensive lineman Tyre West is going to the New York Jets for a 30 visit. He was already with the Detroit Lions. And there's a lot more of them out there, by the way, that I'm not mentioning right now. So I don't think this is abnormal at all. Feels like every team is kind of shifted to doing these things right after the combine ends and starting the process a little before free agency. Listen, it's fun that Jeremiah Love is there. It's cool that we know that he's there. I'm not putting any other stock in it. Listen, they should bring him in. They've got the fourth pick, and he's one of the best players in the draft. I anticipate they've got 29 more. They're also going to bring in Arvell Reese. They're also going to bring in David Bailey. They're also going to bring in Reuben Bain. They're going to bring in Sonny Styles. I'd be surprised if I was wrong about any of those. I bet they bring in some of the corners that might be there at 35. Colton Hood, Jermod McCoy, the two Tennessee corners. Brandon Ceci out of South Carolina is one that I've kind of been talking about. Avion Terrell out of Clemson, the other corner. Some of the edges that might be there at 35 if they don't take one at four. Cassius Howell maybe is a guy they're going to bring in. Same thing with wide receiver. You know, if they're not drafting one at four, do they bring in, you know, Omar Cooper and Casey Concepcion and I don't know who else in that range? Denzel Boston. Like, do they bring in a couple receivers that might be there at 35? Like, I just rounded off like 15, 16 names.
At least. I'd have to go back and count. Let us know in the comments how many names Justin Mello just reeled off.
And I bet they bring in at least 10 of the names I just mentioned, right? Like, I bet I'm going to be pretty spot on with some of those guys who are all like targets at like 4, 35, you know, in that nature. So, of course, they were going to bring in Jeremiah Love. I'm glad it's happening right now. It's cool that we know it. No, it doesn't mean anything yet at all. Maybe it's too early in the process. You want to put on a tinfoil hat. You won't like to do this because you want them to draft them, but maybe it's too early. Maybe, you know, their prospect fatigue weighs in. And, you know, I know they brought in Cam Ward last year, but that's kind of unique. They needed a quarterback. They took a quarterback at number one. Shocking. Yeah. Right. But maybe it's better to bring in these guys a little bit later in the process.
Or, you know, you said, I want them to draft Jeremiah Love. Justin, I've already seen them drafting Jeremiah Love. We just haven't lived that part of our lives yet. But it's like sitting there on the timeline, like on a map that we're just heading straight to. We're on a collision course for that. It's like, it's not what I want. It's what happens in the future. But yeah, I don't think there's any worry about like prospect fatigue or timing of this matter impacting. I don't think the timing of this will impact their decision on who they pick. I think this is just the information gathering phase of the draft cycle, and this is how Mike Borgonzi wants to do it. And I think he does want to enter free agency with as much information about who they might be picking as possible. Not that it will necessarily inform what they do, but maybe the mindset of how they do it. But yeah, I'm with you. I mean, this doesn't mean they're drafting Jeremiah Love. What I know they're drafting Jeremiah Love because I saw the future, but this doesn't mean they're drafting Jeremiah Love. I kid. We're going to take one more break and come back and talk about a world where maybe they don't draft Jeremiah Love because they trade out of the number four pick. Would that be a smart way to proceed after this? All right, welcome back. Justin, if the Kansas City Chiefs offered Mike Borgonzi pick number 9 and pick number 29, is that enough? I haven't looked at like a trade value compensation chart. Is that enough to move up 5 spots in the top 10? I feel like you got to throw in a future second maybe, or a future third at least, or a day 3 pick this year. Because 5 spots from 29 to 24 isn't that much. Five spots from 150 to 145 is nothing. But five spots from 9 to 4 is quite a bit.
Without looking at a trade chart either, I would guess a fourth this year or a third next year. Because remember, GMs do have a rule typically that picks this year are more valuable because I'm going to make it right now. So a fourth this year tends to equal the value of a third next year. You know what I mean? I've seen that thrown out a lot, and I've heard it a lot from notable people. So I would wager a fourth this year or a third next year. I'm maybe going to have the not super popular take here. I think a lot of Titans fans would quickly say no if the Chiefs made that offer. I'm on the fence. I'm not saying I would definitely take it, but I'm not saying I definitely wouldn't either.
If you're talking about two firsts this year, and either like a third or fourth this year or a fourth second or third next year thrown in, like you're getting three picks for the one and they're all top 150.
Well, you're only gaining two picks though, right? Like, I mean, I get what you're saying, but you're not getting two firsts.
You're not getting, that's fair. You get an extra first round pick this year. You still have 35, so you'd be picking at 29 and 35, which opens up your flexibility to either move around or just target two players that you feel like you really want, plus an extra, like, I don't know, top 100 pick either this year or next year. Mike Borgonzi stated that he wants, 12 top 100 picks over a three-year span, and they're still not really that close to that number. And as much as I love at number four, I do think there will be a good player on the board at 9. Now, the question is, like, is 9 almost the dead zone of this draft where you're not getting, like, a top 5 to 7 prospect, and then the next crop of prospects, like, maybe they aren't quite as deserving of being a top 10 pick, and maybe, like, the guy that you draft at 15 is almost the same quality player that you draft at 9. That is a question I have about this particular draft, and I mean, honestly, that applies to most drafts in general, but if you believe by moving back to 9 that you can still get one of the following players, and obviously most of these guys will be gone, but just for the whole list: Arvell Reese, David Bailey, Reuben Bain, Carnell Tate, Jeremiah Love, Sonny Styles. I mean, that's 6 players that they could all go in the top 9. But if you throw Mendoza in there, you're at a 7th player. If you throw in one of or both tackles, which we're hearing all kinds of reports from the draft people that the tackles are going to go earlier than you think, that there could be as many as 6 in round 1, that these guys, Frances Muaga, who could be a tackle or a guard, or Spencer Fano, super athletic tackle, who could also be a guard, that they could, I mean, if those two guys go in the top 10 as well, then you're looking at a world where those are the first 9 picks, and one of those 9 guys is on the board for the Titans. This is going to have to come down to, A, how many blue chip players Mike Borgonzi, Chad Brinker and company are in this draft. And if the answer is 2 or 3, I didn't even mention Caleb Downs. Caleb Downs is in that group as well, obviously, big time. Sorry, excuse me. Can hear the keyboard warriors hammering in the comment section. What about Caleb Downs? And then they'll be like, oh, just as I was about to type that, Graver, remember that Caleb Downs exists. And I didn't mention Jordan Tyson, Mekhi Lemon. Like, there could be an exciting player on the board there. So will Mike Borgonzi and company decide they need one of those blue chippers, which I think there are 3 of, Styles, Downs, and Love, or are they more comfortable with any of these top 9 guys because it means they get to add another player at 29, which could be a cornerback, it could be a receiver, it could be an... I mean, there's going to be a good corner, receiver, and or edge rusher on the board at pick 29. Is that worth giving up that 4th pick and a potentially truly dynamic playmaker for the offense like Jeremiah Love? Maybe they don't need that right now this year if they can add 2 other picks as well. I don't know. It's definitely a debate, and one that might be raging for the next couple of months.
I do think what's interesting is if you include, I thought you included a couple too many people, but if you go Reese, the 3 edges, Reese, Bailey, Bain, Love, Styles, Downs. That's 6 players.
Carnell Tate, does he make that group?
I don't know that I'm comfortable putting him there. I mean, maybe. Mendoza's would make 7. You would need Mendoza's going 1. Correct me if I'm wrong. I'm math, not a math major. If 2 of the linemen go, then one of the six players I just mentioned would be guaranteed to make it to nine. And that's without having to, you know, include Carnell Tate in that.
Or Jordan Tyson or Mekhi Lemon.
Yes,
like three guys who could, any of those three could be, they're not all three, but any of those three could be top 10 picks depending on how.
That is pretty enticing, right? Like, right? And then think about it. Then at 20, you know, I still think you're getting, I guess it's hard to say, but if you were getting one of the edge, say Reuben Bain or David Bailey, which I don't think is outside the realm of possibility considering the arm length on Bain and maybe some of the stiffness on Bailey. Like, I've seen mock drafts with Bailey going 12 this week.
Yeah.
So if you get one of those guys at nine, you know, at 29 and 35, you got both of those picks. Yes, it gives you the room to maneuver, but I also think you're getting a good wide receiver and good corner prospects with those picks. Or an edge, if it is, you know, Tate or Tyson, whatever, at nine. My point is, I really like what you're able to do at 29 and 35.
Let's also add that it's not out of the realm of possibility for Jeremiah Love, who is a running back, to fall to nine. Like, yeah, the Cardinals might take him at three, or they might take an edge rusher, or they might take a tackle. Yeah, the Giants might take him at five. I don't think they're going to do that. I do think they're about to pay a running back a lot of money here in the next few weeks, and they already have Cam Scadabo on the roster. The Browns are definitely not taking him at six. The Commanders at seven, the Saints at eight. They're definitely threats to do it, but both of those teams have plenty of holes as well. Like, do they need to add a running back through the draft? They could. I mean, you could make the same argument about the Titans. So they could, but there's no guarantee that Love... I mean, you might be able to trade to nine and still get the player you wanted all along at a better value, at a lower rookie contract price. That, to me, is a dream scenario, best of every world. Not just both worlds, but every world, where you still get Jeremiah Love at nine, and you pick up 29, you have 35, you pick up another pick either this year or next year. That's not a bad haul, and that would be absolutely phenomenal if they can pull it off.
I didn't think you were going to be so on board, because I'm definitely not a yes, but I'm definitely not a no. I think
I'm in the same boat as that. Yeah. Like, I'm not. It definitely depends. Like, they have to weigh this, which players they truly feel are worth top 10 picks, and will there be one at nine?
Right. And the other thing that interests me is, in a draft where we've talked so much about positional value, and it's not, you know, it's all the best players are running back, safeties, linebackers. If you could flip that, you know, fourth pick into those additional assets, and then maybe you feel a bit better if Sonny Styles is on the board. I don't think he will be, but Sonny Styles, Caleb Downs, Jeremiah Love, like, not, are all those guys going top five, six, seven? I don't know that they are, right? Some of these tackles might go because of the premiumness of it, or wide receiver. So you feel better about taking a non-premium at number nine. You might still come away with a top five player in the draft at nine, and you've got an additional asset, an additional first round pick at 29. So this is something to think about. I think there's something worth thinking about there. It's not the automatic no, I think a lot of Titans fans might say. Let us know what you think. Let us know in the comments below. I'm curious about that. So that's going to do it for this episode of the Music City Audible podcast. We will be back tomorrow with your favorite episode of the week, a live stream at 10:30 a.m. Eastern. Come shoot the S with us, whether it's free agency talk, draft talk, Titans do something or not. You know, these Friday live streams, I'm going to keep talking until Graver's got to keep dancing. These live streams have been a bit more laid back, a bit more comfortable as we talk free agency with you guys, answer questions. I can't do it. I thought I could. I can't. Well, we answer questions in the chat. So Friday, 10:30 a.m. live stream. Call in sick to work. Take your lunch break. Whatever you got to do to be there, make sure you are there live on the MCA YouTube channel. Until tomorrow, y'all stay safe out there and tighten up.
A Broadway Sports Media production.